What's up, guys? Welcome to Run It Back with Blair Bomber. I'm Blair Bomber, and happy almost Friday, you fucks. That's right. It's Thursday, the 24th. Did you even question that I knew what day it was? For a second, you're like, he doesn't know what day it is? What a fucking... Not. Nah, he got it right. There it is. Hey, guess what, though? We got another guest. I've been getting guests left and fucking right. And this one, it's a very special, special guest because I met this guy at my first glory hole in Chicago. That's right. We were waiting in line. I was like, are you gonna go up? And he was like, you should probably go first. And I was like, I think we might be able to go at the same time because this guy is so tall that I can use like the dick hole for my dick and he can use what would have been my eye hole for his dick because the guy is 7'7", he's 7'4" tall. And he's just a fucking cute, cute kid. Alex Dragovich. He's a good guy. Good guy. Funny dude. But for real. We met at a glory hole. That wasn't a joke. If you're listening to this and you're like, wow, Blair, have you met all your friends at weird, devious underground sex cults? Yes. That's how you know if someone's a good guy or not. Because you go to get your dick sucked and you walk away with a best friend. That's how that works. In case you guys were wondering. Look, it's a good episode. We talk about an hour. We go all over the place, talking comedy, talking cargo shorts, talking fucking everything, dude. He's a super funny guy. You can follow him on Instagram. I'm pretty sure it's just at Alex Drags, should I try and spell that? A-L-E-X, and then Drags, D-R-A-G-S. And then, yeah, then it's the same thing on Twitter. His last name is a disaster to spell because we say Dragovich, but I'm pretty sure we're supposed to say Dragosevich because he's Serbian. Serbian? Yeah, he's a Serbian kid. He's a Serbian kid. He'll never lose his hair and he'll always fight off the desire to chain smoke cigarettes outside of a Kmart. It's our guy. You're ready. You guys are good. It's going to fade down into nothing. It's going to fade up and you're going to hear the sweet, sweet sound of our boy Alex Drago. You're gonna hear Drago. It's right now. In 3, 2, 1, go.
I got way too high last night. I was watching Nuggets with Chris, and I was in Michigan with Tommy Schneeman for a while, doing like a little getaway.
So you were boozing. If you're out there with Tommy, you got to be boozing. Were you out there, Indiana? Weren't you on campus? Did you go back to Notre Dame, old stomping grounds?
Yeah, so Tommy went to Notre Dame too, and his sister goes there. So I think she needed like a couch, or not a couch, or like a, she needed like some shit from their parents' place. So Tommy had to drop that off. And then went down memory lane a little bit, saw it. And then they have a lake house that's like a half hour north of Notre Dame.
Yeah.
But drinking, yes. Like it was so much. It was a lot. I really like, and I haven't done the proper reset yet. Like I'm still drinking and eating like I'm on a lake house, like for like the last like 3 or 4 days.
All right. Walk me through like a boozy weekend for you. Like how much are you, because you're a big guy, how much are you drinking? Are you beer? Are you an IPA? Are you a light beer? Are you going to wine? Are you going back and forth? Are you being ignorant with it?
It's so lame because I really do like IPAs. and it's like, and I feel like that's like the lamest beer to, I don't know. It's like a very, it's like, but I'm not like a snob, but for some reason, taste wise, even though it's so much more filling and it fucks you up like so bad, like I would rather have an IPA than like 3 or 4. I talk to Daryl Schmitz about this all the time. Cause he wants,
big,
he's always like, yeah, he'll just do like, dude, why don't you just have 5? Why don't you have like 10 Miller Lights? It's like, I'd rather have a couple daisy cutters. I'd rather have a two-hearted. I'd rather have a magic hat.
Yeah, well, he's using PEDs. He doesn't really count because he's on Adderall. So that guy, he's a volume guy. So yeah. If I'm going to drink, because I'm like him, I like Just give me a fucking Bud Light. I'm going to have 15 of them. I'm going to get tall. But I also know what 15 Bud Lights does to me. I don't drink enough, you know, pale ales, IPAs and shit like that to where if I have, I'll drink them all the same speed, dude. I'm a fucking idiot. It's just that the redundancy of just going back and forth. So it could be a triple IPA that's like 16%. I'm just, oh, it's fucking like a Bud Light. And then I get,
yeah.
And then I'm fucked up. Yeah. As long as you're not the guy who's like, you try this new stout. I got this fucking stout.
No, no, no. Yeah. I think it's really, that's the thing is I'm not even like that, like well-versed, I feel like in them, but I just, I know that there's like four or five that are like my go-tos. And yeah, I think for like a weekend, like a bender, the nights that are bad are when I'm already drinking beer, but what happens is I can't say no when people like want to buy me shots or like people want to do shots. I'll always do it. People will be like, you don't want to do a shot? And I'll be like, no. And they'll be like, come on. And I go, I'm like, all right. Then
dude, if anybody ever presses me to do anything, it doesn't matter what it is, I'm going to do it. It's like, hey man, do you want to do a shot? No. Do you want to do a shot? Of course I want to do a shot. Thank you for asking twice. So I feel like it's not my fault that I'm doing this. They pressured me. And you don't want to be the guy who's saying no to stuff. You know what I mean? Because everyone has that sober friend who couldn't handle his shit, so now he can't drink ever again. And that guy's always like, oh, you guys, I don't care if you guys drink. It's totally fine. Just I'm just going to hang out over here and maybe be creepy to the women that come through.
Yeah, I was on a date Monday, and the bartender came up to us and like gave us these two shots. He's like, I made these shots. Like, I'm making these new special shots that with my own concoction or whatever. He's like, there's tequila and like peach schnapps. He's like, I call it a Sharon. It's like a bunch of different shit in it. And he just like placed them on the table. He's like, so do you guys want to try them? And I was just like, I just felt it didn't sound that good, you know? And I didn't want to take it. But of course, I was just like, all right, yeah.
Wait, so you're on a date?
It was pretty good. It was pretty good.
Well, I'm sure the guy, it's probably his whole life. He's been waiting six months. Look at this fucking Sharon. I'm going to fucking pour out for people. Dude,
when you bartend, do you ever try to like make your own like mix, like kind of martinis or shots or cocktails or
never? Wonder why? Because I'm not a cunt. So all these guys bartend, because you know, when you do anything long enough, you kind of see the stereotypes of people that have that same job as you. Like, it could be with anything, right? It could be with fucking comics, bartenders, fucking coaches, whatever the fuck you want it to be. But that guy, what he just did right there, that was him trying to look cool in front of the girl that you're on a date with.
Probably.
Because honestly, that's kind of a bartender move, is to be like, this guy could fuck this up. And if he leaves, she's staying and I'm here.
Wow.
Yeah.
I think that kind of goes under. That's interesting. I feel like this is maybe like too much of a generalization, but sometimes I feel like, women like bartenders, they're just trying to like keep you at bay, and are like guy bartenders, are they like they're flirting, or like they're like trying to score, when the women bartenders are like, stay away from, like, leave me alone, you know? Or are female bartenders trying to score too?
It's feast and famine. Every dude is hitting on the female bartender. And no one is hitting on the male bartenders, but
so we
kind of have to still shoot all the shots that we can,
right?
Because
it's a Saturday night, you want to be out too, but you got to work.
Yeah, and so everybody is infinitely hotter behind the bar. I don't know. It's like being on stage. If you have a mic in your hand and people are watching you speak, you go up at least 1.5 to 2 points on whatever hot scale you want to go off of. Same thing happens behind the bar. It's dimly lit. You have power. You're fucking mixing your back and forth. Like, how many times?
Really?
100%, dude. Have you never hit on a bartender before? Like, just wasted too much time?
I've tried so hard with a couple bartenders.
It's wasted time, dude. Have you ever fucked one? Ever.
I've hooked up with like, I think waitresses. I've hooked up with a couple bartenders.
They're whores, like, though. Waitresses are whores. They're supposed to, like, that's what they do. Like, there's a reason they're not bartending yet.
Well, they did get with me, so it must've been, I don't know. I've never flirted with and like like charmed a bartender into hooking up with me.
Yeah, it's, dude.
And she was a bartender. It's because, but we met from other circumstances.
Yeah, it's never, I don't think I've ever heard of, I mean, I'm sure I've got one asshole buddy who's like, yeah, man, I went out and fucking just hot bartender, took her home, first time meeting her. Never happens, right. Dude. No guy.
I think that's,
First meeting of them at their job, it does not, they're, it's all day for them. They don't have that. Like, you have to be like celebrity or some status to be like.
Right.
I remember like Godfrey, right. Godfrey came into the bar at Second City when I was working there. And he, because he was hosting whatever the thing was upstairs.
Yeah.
And he came down and he had just these two fucking just absolute just pieces with him. Like this guy, and he's a cute kid. And that guy, he's also like 50 years old and he looks like he's 27. Black does not crack ever.
It never cracks.
Ever. And he doesn't drink really either. So
smart.
But there was a bartender that was working with me and she was pretty hot. And she's like, you know, hot female bartender. She's not fucking anybody. Right. Godfrey came in. And I don't think she knew who he was, or maybe she did. She was immediately like, whatever this, he can have all of it. Whatever.
Oh, really?
And I'm like, yeah? Like, do you know who he is? She's like, I think I do, but I don't know where. I'm like.
He has the aura of a famous person too, I feel like.
He I feel like, do you think that, okay, this happened to a buddy, because you're 28, how old are you, 27, 28?
Yeah.
So my buddy, him and his girl, they went back to their college town because my buddy's girl's sister was like graduating or something. And they went to the old college bar they used to go to and it was open and it was happening. And he's 29. And he said that there were some college kids there that were like, yo, dude, why are you here?
Whoa.
Like, you're 30. I just turned 21 yesterday. Why are you here?
Yeah.
And that's like one of my biggest fears is a guy who likes to drink, who likes going to bars, is being the old guy at the bar where it's predominantly young kids.
Yeah. Well, I think that's a, but haven't you found that there are bars, I think it's a natural progression because aren't there bars that you used to go to where you're like, oh, I used to go there, but I'm not 23, or I used to go there, but I'm not 24. So it's just like, you eventually, as you get older, there's like bars for each age, I feel like.
But there
The guys that are, I think it does take, you need to have a little self-awareness. Cause like if you are the 29-year-old or if you're the 30-year-old at the 24-year-old kid bar or whatever, it does like, it's a weird look, you know?
But then you notice how like not celebrities, just anybody with a little bit of status or money, it's almost like it takes their age down like 8 years. If a guy's 35 and he's a bunch of money, he can go to the 23-year-old bar and no one thinks that it's weird, but he's also like, well, that guy's just, you know, he's just paying for all our drinks. He's being
I think when you're famous, you don't really have, you are kind of ageless in a way. I think if you're 40 and then you get on like a hit TV show, you can probably hook up with 25-year-olds as much as you want, right?
Yeah. Like when I was in Montana and I went to like a bar like a because Montana doesn't care. COVID's not real there. They don't. They don't care. They've had like 40 case, like less than like 40 cases in a million people. Like that's not even on their radar.
Wow.
And I went to this bar and it was called Daisy Dukes and it was just the kickest, countryest college bar. Cause it's a Montana State bar, so it's like but it also has equal parts young college kids and criminals. So there's like older dudes that are like just rough dudes that are like we're here to drink and get fucked up and like this song, and there's also just fucking super hot 22-year-olds. And I was talking to this girl, and we were just met her at the bar. We were just going back and forth, and she goes, "Oh, like just how old are you?" I'm like, "I'm 29."
Yeah.
She goes, "Oh, that's great." I'm like, I'm kind of into older guys. I was like, how old are you? She's like, oh, I'm 21 as of 3 weeks ago. And I was like, all right.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to buy this round, but then I think.
Yeah. I think it's a real, do you think there's like stages of acceptance with the idea that you can't really talk to 22 or 23-year-olds sometimes. I feel like that's a real, I mean, but it's also, but
talking
it's also,
and talking to and fucking is two different things. I can talk, I don't want to talk to most people under 25, but if she's 22 and looks like she's 29 and in a rap video, like I'm probably going to be more into whatever she has to say afterwards.
I don't know. I think it's all, I think it's equal too. Cause it's like, you're the old, like when you get older, you're just like, to me, it's like a less, I don't know. It's if the conversation isn't going well, I think that's what happens as you get older. You get like less, like, you're just like, it's like somebody,
it's got to happen fast or it's not going to happen.
Yeah, you're turning on. I think you're definitely more into the connection. I think at 23 or 24, I think I would have been like, whoever, wherever, name your time, name the place. But now I'm like, I gotta at least, I gotta really like you, I think to make the next step now. You know?
Well, yeah, because I think women now that are our age, which is, I don't think I've ever consistently dated women that were my age. It was either always a little bit older or a little bit younger. It's never like within 2 years. I just feel like it was always kind of like that. But talking to that girl who's 21, I'm like, 8 years, I don't know. It just, to me, 8 years, 29 to 21 seems so much bigger a gap than if it was 39, 31.
Certainly. Yeah. Cause the people that when they're 21 to 25 is like a huge jump. You know, I think those are still formative years. Like those are still really like developmental years. Once people are like, they don't really like know them because people are just getting out of college. They still don't really know themselves. They think they like Coke. They don't really know yet. You know? you try it, you do it, but you don't, I mean, no one really likes it, by the way. No
dude,
one's like,
I don't know, man. We know a couple really, guys that love it.
Yeah, no, and that's the thing. Like, I feel like I would, if, when I was, I had a, when I was 25, I would have told you, 24, 25, I would have told you that I liked it, but it's just, it's a very, like, you gotta start to know yourself, and that's a big thing. So now, like, if you're, when I'm trying to like talk to somebody, it's still, it takes a lot more like of a, I think I need to hit a couple like
couple
markers.
Lines. Yeah. Hit a couple lines and then go out there and talk to the nice girl. Yeah. Hit a couple lines. Hey, you're 27. Perfect.
Yeah. Wait, what are you? You're 23. Okay, cool. I love TikTok. Yeah. Let's do it.
TikTok. No, we want to dance later. Let's do this. It'd be so much fun. I love you.
Yeah, I just need to, it takes a little bit to like somebody now, but I still did, but do you know what I did? I wanted to talk more, not talk more about it, but just to make my last point about the bartender situation. I was at I did a show at the Hubbard Inn last week or two weeks ago.
Braggy.
And like the waitress, as she brought me my drink, she put her hand on my thigh.
Ooh,
and what? my friend that was with me, a girl, was like, that's the tell. Like, that's, she put her hand on your,
yeah, she broke the contact barrier.
And I was like, okay, left her my number like a fucking idiot.
Well, come on, man, too passive.
I should have talked to her.
You got to go and get her number.
That's the move.
Hey, dude, if she's breaking the contact barrier, first of all, again, while the iron is hot,
this
man,
is why
you gotta go. You, dude, if she touches your leg, you need to make the effort to go.
Really? Is a leg touch really that big of a, like, is a leg,
a leg touch
a thing?
Who was the last guy that touched your leg?
I don't know. Bobby,
so it's an overtly sexual act that only comes from women. Dude, that's fucking,
dude,
easy.
But a leg touch could be like a flirty. It can be flirty, but aren't waitresses, bartenders, like, isn't everyone like, isn't being flirty, doesn't that equal more pay usually anyway?
So if she's
touching my leg, it's like, it's probably like trying to be nice.
Here's the thing about touch. Okay, so I started coaching at Orange Theory. Fucking just, come on, moms, we can do this. I was doing that in LA, and they put the fucking TED Talk mic on, you yell at moms, run faster. But they coach us to have they're called personal touches. where you come up to somebody and you touch them, it's always on the shoulder or top of the back, not the neck, not lower back, not mid back. It's got to be in this area.
Shoulder blade.
So you touch that and say, hey, excuse me, can I give you something to work on here? Right. Yeah. And just the idea of someone touching you immediately locks you into them.
Exactly.
So then you're more receptive to what they're saying, and you have a slight connection with them just off the touch barrier being broken. The right. same thing, and they put science into that thought with bartending and serving. You'll do the same thing, but it's, again, the same area. You just know that if you touch someone on the shoulder, excuse me, that's not an overtly sexual touch. But if she touches you...
Thigh?
Dude, thigh.
I think she left it there for maybe a second.
Dog, are you retarded?
I think she planted.
Did she?
No, but that's why I left her number. I left my number with the bartender. I was
too
like,
passive.
Because hey,
she thinks you're a fucking pussy now because she swung big and you downshifted.
I really say that she swung. Now I really so my friend, the girl I was with, was correct on that.
And why would you not believe your friend?
Volpio was like,
you don't think she knows what an overtly sexual act is?
Hold on, dude, we can't. she was right. She was like, that's a touch. She's like, that's
yes, dude. Yeah, because most
to your ass.
I think what'd you say?
I should have listened to Volpio.
Yeah, you should have, dude, because when for women to be, first of all, for her to be at work and she can't really like, because they're supposed to verbal flirting is that's the job, right? So
that's the job. That's the
so
job.
So most guys, like if we see a waitress flirts with me, if it's a bartender flirting with me, it's like, oh, that's part of the gig. I know the rules. But if they break the touch barrier, like I was at a bar one time and it was bad. The server was coming up to the bar. It was the other side. You remember the other side over there?
This is
a while back. And my boys and I were there. We were drinking and we're just getting fucked up. It's like six of us. Just the boys are just getting it's active.
Yes.
And this, our server comes over and she's just like flirty, fun, awesome. And then after the first round of drinks, she comes back and she starts like, kind of like always siding up next to me, even though I wasn't the easiest spot to, she sat up next to me and they go, what are we having? And I'm like, we're doing this. And she would do shots with us. I get that. Right. Then after like the second pass, she came up and like put like the hand, like right on like the rib area.
Oh, wow.
Like okay. Lays it down. Like, and I'm like, okay. Then my girlfriend at the time comes.
Yeah.
And doesn't see any of this.
Yeah.
And then that server continues, sees that I have a girlfriend and then turns it up to 11 on like some manipulative shit.
Whoa.
Is like, would wait for my girlfriend to leave, come back and then kind of be like, hey, so, and it escalated to like hand on the chest, a little collarbone tweak, if you will. And all my boys are watching it. Like, this is clearly overtly her saying she's
okay.
That was the farthest I would have ever seen it go.
Yeah.
But with
that's a real, but that's a move. They planted. They got to plant the hand.
Let's talk about you being a pussy and just leaving your number. Like, you know, who are you? Like, were you wearing sunglasses inside? Like, what are you doing?
I don't know. I don't have, again, like I always kind of lived by the code that like the waitress, the bartender, they don't actually like you. Don't leave a number. That's been my like code. Cause I felt like, you're always just going to like, don't get like tripped up in that shit. So the only reason why I left my number was because, Volpio was like, she's into it. And B, I think the bartender said she was single. I was like, is she single? And I was like, okay. And he was like, yeah. And I was like, oh, can I just like leave my number or whatever?
You know what she did to your fucking number? She went, oh, he left a number. This guy's a fucking put, dude. You have to like go. I'm not, you don't have to do this, but like what she wants you to do is you're fucking 7'2". She wants you to walk over, look down upon her with those fucking sweet, sweet brown eyes of yours and be like, hey, so like, what are you doing?
Yeah. I should have talked to her. Do you feel like that, in terms of like when you mentioned the waitress or came up to you and like put her hand on your rib, do you feel like, let me ask you this, when you see a girl as a boyfriend, this is why I never understood. Some people with significant others become more attractive, and I don't feel that way. Like sometimes when a girl sees a guy with another girl or whatever, they'll be like, oh, that's, they'll like want to go after, like they want to take down, like they want to get with somebody that that's already has a significant other, because they see that as like a more interesting thing. Am I making sense here?
So you're saying that you think it goes both ways? So if a woman sees a guy that has a girlfriend, he's more attractive to her, and then for guys, if we see a girl that has a boyfriend, she's more attractive to us? Are you saying you believe that to be true?
I'm saying I think it's true for some people, but I don't get it. I don't really understand it.
I think
it's like, have you ever seen a girl with a guy and be like, well, I'm gonna, that's, I don't know, like,
yeah, but
I
have, but it's usually only if it's like a girl who I only know through Instagram and just seeing her asshole. Like that's like, if it's like a hot Instagram chick and she's dating a guy who looks like a fucking thumb, I'm kind of like, I could be that ugly like a thumb. I could be that guy's, yeah, that thumb for her.
Yeah. Well, there's the theory that like when a guy gets married, that's like one of the better, that's like what helps him. That really helps the guy get laid a lot. Just like when a girl sees that he's married or something.
Yeah.
That's
an Adam Sandler movie.
Is that, oh, okay. Yeah. I don't know.
You know, it's really good. It's with Jennifer Aniston. You see her almost naked, but not really.
What movie was that?
That's Just Go With It. It's the one where they go to Hawaii, and it's Jennifer Aniston's like his assistant, and he's going to be his fake wife to impress his girl.
I thought it was like a.
It's definitely a thing. The wedding ring that Sandler's made it. It's a bit that's been like a street joke that he made into a movie.
So it's not a guy. So it's not necessarily true for guys. When guys see girls being like, if a girl has ever been like to you, like this happens, I think has happened to every guy. If a girl's ever been like, if you ever talk to a girl and she's like, hey, sorry, actually, I have a boyfriend. What percent of guys do you think try to jump that hurdle? And what percent of guys do you think retreat and just go, okay, I'm
out? Well, okay, so I think a lot of it is, it's like time under tension. It's like, how long has she been with the guy?
I retreat, by the way. I go, oh.
Me too. But there are times where, like, again, going back to when I was in Montana, there was a girl who was like the manager, and she knew my buddy who I was with. Yeah. And her name was like Jade or whatever. Yeah. And she was super nice. And I remember like talking to her, and she was like flirty, fun, nice. And then I do the thing where I'm just taking trips to the bathroom, trying to catch her like on a one-on-one on the way back. So I'm not talking to her in front of my mom, who I was with.
Oh, damn.
So I have to like try and like make it, because you can't hit on someone in front of your mom. You can, but it's a little bit. I can do it in front of the 21-year-old. I've introduced her to my mom, and she loved that. But the 29-year-old, she's like, hey, don't do that if Bonnie's there. But I was talking to her, and she was like, I was like, what are you doing after? She's like, oh, I think we're going to get drinks afterwards. I'm like, great.
Right.
Are you seeing anybody? And she's like, kinda. And when they say kinda, it's like it just started. And that's when I'll move forward. But if she's like, I have a boyfriend, you gotta.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a very, yeah, that's it is kind of a tough. What about when the girl has a boyfriend and is like kind, and is like, it's known, but after a while you feel like that you can be an accept, like one of the exceptions, or you can be the guy she cheats
on. Has that happened to you? Were you somebody's exception to the rule?
I've only been with a couple girls who were like seriously dating guys, but not for like a long period.
It has nothing to do with us, dude. When it comes to a chick who decides to cheat, like, unless saying,
have you ever been the other guy? I guess is what I'm asking.
Been the guy fucking the girl with a boyfriend?
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
I feel like that's, yeah, I feel like you kind of live in that.
Yeah, that's kind of my sweet spot. It's like, oh, are you guys fighting today? Let's just do some shots and do some blow in the bathroom. It'll be fine. Yeah, dude, I had a, yeah, there was a, I try not to, man. I try not to, but there's a girl in college who, like, her and I were, I met her when she had a boyfriend, or her and a boyfriend had just broken up, was when I met her. And then her and I, like, hooked up during their break. Like, they went on a break for a week. And it was cool. And then she, we keep kind of hooking up. And then she didn't tell me that she had gotten back together with the guy.
Yeah.
So there was this overlap. So I was like, well, this doesn't mean shit to you, clearly, like, at all. Then I was like, hey, I'm just going to chill out. Like, you're seeing that guy. And I, some of my friends are friends with that guy. So I'm kind of like, okay, there's too many. We're too connected on other. So then I decided to full on be like, I'm not going to, we're good. But then 3 weeks later, her and her boyfriend get into a fight. She calls me, hey, come fuck me. And I'm going to do that. And then I told my buddy who was, I didn't know how good of friends he was with her boyfriend. And then he got drunk and ratted me out to that guy. And then the guy got mad at her and then wanted to beat my ass, which he for sure probably could have. I think he's, I don't know, everybody can. So it's like, I don't know who I'm going to win a fight. Who am I fighting? Like, Tucker could probably beat my, I mean, he could beat my ass.
No, Tucker cannot beat
I'd put Tucker down. I put him in the fucking grave. I'd stretch his ass out. But, but I mean, like, that was the thing where it, the guy wanted to be mad at me, but he can't be mad at me. I don't decide any of this. Like, if you're the guy, have you ever been the guy, the third guy, and then the guy tries to get mad at you?
I only, yeah, I've been the other guy a couple times. One time, I think the last time a few years ago, the girl was like, we have to stop, or you can't tell any, she was like, you can't tell anyone about this because my my boyfriend finds out, he will kill you. And I was like, I laughed. And she's like, no, he's crazy. Like, he'll kill you. And I was like, okay. Well, I guess, like,
then you have some real good sex and you're like, let's fuck like, a little harder now. Cause this might be the end of me.
Yeah. It feels weird. Yeah. And then, that was one I did. I had one.
Did that one scare you off though? When she says he's crazy, crazy, does that make you want to be like, it's not worth it anymore?
Scared me off. Yeah. I was like, I can't, how are you? What kind of person are you where you just go, you're telling the guy that you just had sex with, you're like, hey, listen, keep this under wraps because the other guy I'm having sex with will end your life. It's just like a weird, that's not the person that you want to have, you want to go move forward with, you know?
Yeah.
That's not someone where you're like,
but the really, sex has got to be.
No one's ever been like, no one's ever told their kids like, oh, you know how I met your mom? She was in love with another guy who would have killed me if he knew about us. Like, that's
you're telling the story in a wheelchair. Like, it was worth it for sure. Yeah. He hit my spine with a bullet in the back. It's totally good. I'm fine. It was, your mom's great.
I remember one time in college, I was like, this girl, like me and this girl thought that it was that nobody knew about it. But like, not only her boyfriend knew about it, but like,
he was watching the whole time.
All of his friends knew about it. Like, her friends knew about it. My friends knew about it. So then, like, my friends, people would be coming up to me, and be like, "Dude, are you like, why do you keep hooking up with? I'm not gonna say her name, or whatever. Why do you keep hooking up with her?" And I was like, "What do you mean? What? I'm not. How do you know?
I'm not hooking up with her. I'm not. I would never hook up with her in a million years."
I was like, "How does anyone?" Yeah, it's always a shocker. Doing that, thinking that you can get away with that shit in college is incredible. My buddy Tom has this story where he was like, he was the other guy and he was at the bar and the guy comes up to him and he's like, you're going to have to stop like fucking whatever, like Megan or whatever. You're going to stop like fucking Megan. And Tom was like, Tom, he takes a drink and he looks at him. He goes, dude, I fucked her like 3 hours ago.
So stop the rest of tonight. So don't do it again today.
Yeah. It was just like, and like, that's like my favorite. It's like, this is my buddy. It's just like, it's crazy how some guys
Well, yeah, dude, it's the juice, man. That's what I keep. I was talking to Tucker about this the other day. It's like anything that I do or enjoy doing it, there's some juice to it. There's got to be some kind of zhuzh that makes me want to keep, even if it sucks or it's like with comedy. It's like you might fucking eat shit and bomb, or you might fucking murder. And the better you get, the more you murder. But it's like either way, you still feel something. So sure. Guys that are like some dudes, I know some guys that are crazy. Where it comes to women, where they're like, I want a girl who's broken and then wants to break me.
Whoa.
Yeah. Yes. They want it to be like, they're like, I had a buddy who had an affair with his mom's best friend who, so like his parent, his mom and his dad's, their best friends that were a couple also.
Yeah.
And then it was his like best friend's mom. He fucked that mom.
Yeah.
They got divorced. Like, his buddy fought him, and then his parents didn't talk to him for a year.
Yeah, that's real. That's like some real like Desperate Housewives shit.
Thinks they're in a fucking movie. I can't, like, you ever meet like a regular guy who works at fucking, I don't know, like an outdoor shop? He works at, like, Cabela's, but he thinks he's in a movie all the time. So he has like a holster, and then he like hits on fat chicks and says he might, like, he wants to put them on his lamp or some weird shit. It's like, dude, you're not in a movie.
Some guys, it is weird. That's, I mean, the thing that like you find out just by like being even like a regular porn or watcher is that people have weird, just insane kinks, and people are into insane shit. Some guys really like cougars. I can't get past it. I think hooking up with a MILF would be, I have once, but I think like continuously, like trying to get out there, like there's something weird about hooking up, like the idea of like an older woman is like being in public with like a 50-year-old. That's what I can't get past yet.
Well, you like, in public with anybody is always kind of a jarring thing. It's like, how tall is he?
It's always like, what's his deal?
So what's his deal? Like, is she sick? Like, what's going on here? Is that his mom?
Yeah, like, right. Like
it's a mom or a daughter all the time.
Yeah. I have a, I think that is probably a fantasy to like hook up with an actual like 50-year-old, 55-year-old, and that'd be great. But I just don't want to do the, I don't want to meet this woman for drinks. You know, like, I don't want
to,
like,
you want to cut to it. You don't want to do the, you don't want to be just, like,
because it's like, I don't want to like know you. I don't want to know the actual, I don't know, like, know what college your kids go to. You know what I'm saying? I don't like, I just want to like do the, I just want you to be older and like, I want to be at your house or whatever.
I want her to make you a martini and then you sit down in your fucking flip flops and cargo shorts and she tells you what's wrong with you.
Okay. First off, I was so mad when cargo shorts became uncool. I was so bummed.
They're back, dude. What do you mean?
Are they back?
They're back. You know what? They're back and cargo shorts, pants. Dude, I was on the Nike app the other day, and there's cargo sweats now. There's fleece cargo sweats.
No, I'm not going back.
Pockets, dude.
I'm not doing it. I fuck that.
Come on, man.
You can't just like say they're like the wackest thing ever for like 10 years and then
but you can't like jump off because of influence and then just stay off for because of influence. It's like you got to just be a ride or die cargo short guy until the end of time.
I'll tell you what, I think that's a pretty good point. But now that I've been off for 10 years, I think I'm good. I think I've got a pair of I've fallen in love with a couple pairs of regular shorts that I have, or just whatever shorts that I have that I'm gonna stick with. I don't really shop. Like, I don't dress well. So I just,
you don't dress well. You don't have to though either. Like you don't like when a woman looks at you and they're like, I can work with that. Cause they just over 6 feet tall. They're in like, it's, dude, anything over 6'4", it's like you can do whatever you want. Dude, every memory I have of you is in that hat and cargo shorts. And you say you don't wear cargo shorts. So for me, like, I
have some reason. Yeah.
Are just you in cargo shorts.
There's some tall privilege out there. That's for sure.
There's definite tall privilege. Sure. Yeah. I used to try. This is all pre-COVID bits, but I was doing a bit about how you would go to – like, I can't donate sperm because if you're under 6 feet tall, they won't take it.
Really?
That's like you funny. Could, they won't let you in the building. Like they're like, ah, no, you got to turn around, get out of here.
Wow.
He's really, it's a true thing. Like they won't take it because women know better. Like women, you know, their whole thing is they want you to be over 6 feet tall and not black. That's all they really
want. In a that sperm. Could be true. I don't know.
In a sperm sure bank, that. It's just all white women that are. Well, actually, now it's. I think black is being black is kind of like cargo shorts. It's definitely cool to be black again. If you're
saying you're saying it was out for a bit.
I'm saying that women at sperm banks wanted fucking 6 feet tall white.
Mm.
And because okay. White women are the ones that are at sperm banks. It's only white chicks.
Are you, have you successfully donated?
No, I can't. I cannot donate if I'm under 6 feet tall.
Oh my God. Oh, wow.
Because women, that's like the first thing they look at is if you're under 6 feet tall, they're like, we don't want a short kid.
Right.
Over 6 feet tall. Like my boy, Big Jake, he plays, he's a fucking plays with the Broncos and nice. Back when we were in college at WSU, he was like set up to go and donate sperm. He's going to get like $1,200 a week to just, cause he's 6'7", big guy.
Yeah.
And then he got all the way through the process. He delivered his shit. And then they said, that his sperm didn't freeze the way it was supposed to. So he couldn't do it.
Really?
So all money damn. Gone, but like there, but it's, he can do that. Like if you decided to make, like if you want to make a little extra cash, you could just roll into a sperm bank right now and have, it's like your OnlyFans for men.
You know what, dude, I'm going to look into that. Cause $1,200 is, that's great.
Dude.
I need every dollar I can get. I would do that. But isn't there like a long, I think I actually remember looking into, isn't there like kind of an arduous process? Like, don't you have to like go every week for like,
well, yeah, they have, weeks, isn't it, there's a big problem. They have to know if your sperm will freeze and they can hold on to it for as long as possible. Plus, if you have like they do all these blood tests and you have a history of this, because when they do sperm donors, they have to have like your entire history of like do you have a history of Alzheimer's, of fucking cancer, all this bullshit. So they have to really, and then your sperm has to be able to hold for a certain amount of time. And yeah, you'd be fine. Going back to what we were saying about moms though, because you said that thing about hooking up with, I think I was 23 and I hooked up with a mom in Iowa. Her name was Jacoba. Nice lady.
Jacoba.
Like Jacoby, but with an A at the end.
That's kind of tight.
It was kind of tight. She was probably like a little bit shorter than me. So like this tall. Right. And just tits. And she was like a bartender. But I met her when she wasn't bartending. Like she was okay. Like, I'm off my shift. And I was like, cool.
Yeah.
Went to her place. It was like a fucking trailer. And she had two kids that she had just left in their rooms all night. And then we went and we hooked up. And yeah, she was hot. She was 42, 43.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I remember thinking like, this is awesome. But we went straight to her place. Like I would not want to go get dinner with her.
I know that's the thing, man. You want to keep the MILFs hidden. You want them away.
But dudes don't care. Like, have you ever been out like just fucking in Old Town? You go to any bar in Old Town, and you'll see an old guy with white hair and a 22-year-old, and they're just getting dinner.
Do you think those are the sugar daddies?
Yeah, 100%. But we all know that's what it is.
Right.
You know, it's either like that's her dad or that's her daddy.
There was a guy that I went to college with, but I don't know how much older she is. I think she might be like, he's now married to a woman that's like, this is probably, it's probably safe to say she's probably, probably 10 to 15 years older than him, maybe 15 years older than him. Like they started dating when he was like 24, 25. And they actually came to one of my shows in Minneapolis. Beautiful. I mean, she is for how old? She probably is in her 40s.
Mm.
So hot. Right. So hot. I don't think my buddy would be mad about me saying that, but she's really beautiful. So
real,
I don't know. And so now they're married, right?
And she's 15 years older, you said?
Yeah, but so she has a kid. She has, I think, three kids from a previous marriage, and they're all like in high school or middle school now, at the I think a couple are two actually just got this. I think two are twins and they just got their drivers. So they're like two high school, one middle school, just to,
right.
And now, so like my buddy is, he's 29 years old and he's about to have three kids out of high school by the time he's 32. That's kind of the dream.
Like, yeah.
We don't think about that shit.
Yeah.
He didn't have to raise anyone.
Didn't raise a single, nothing.
Huh?
Now you're just playing catch.
You're just fucking playing catch, dude. And honestly, and he's going to be drinking with these kids in 3 years.
Yeah, he's the cool stepdad. He gets to do all the fun shit. And then none of that, like, I don't, the parts
where he's
the
man. He's like a great dude. Like I think about this all the time where I'm like, his wife is so cute. So it's like, he just nailed it. He nailed it. Like, he didn't have to get, like, he's going to have his whole life with this woman. And
those kids will always love him as, like, the cool, because, you know, like, I think anytime you're,
he's just a cool dude. Yeah. Yeah. He's just like a good guy.
Anytime you're, you know, anything you have issue with your mom and your dad, it stems from you being a shit fucking kid from 3 to 14. Right. And they just always resent you for ruining their life.
Right. You slide in when they're 16.
And they're teaching them how to drive stick.
Yeah, and I think the kids play hockey. So he was a hockey player at Notre Dame. So I think
athlete dad.
Yes.
Yeah, so athlete kids, stepdad? Come on.
Yes, and I think he teaches them like I think he coaches them up in hockey and stuff. So it's like, what else? Like, what more? So then they're out of the house by the time you're 33, 34, and it's like, dude, and then you're just chilling.
I think you found your lane. That might be your move.
Oh, I got to keep my eye out for this one. I got to keep my eye out. Because there's nothing, honestly, it is kind of cool. Like, obviously, like, we do comedy and we've, you know, all but just like ruined our 9-to-5, our hopes of making money in traditional 9-to-5. So sometimes you go over to like a girl's place, especially now at our age, where they have their own place, they'll have their own condo or whatever, and you're just like, you're looking around, you're like, I can move in, dude. I can make this happen, you know?
Dude, I mean, and that's the kind of math that we do. That's the poor math that you do.
That's poor math. You just go, you're looking at her like, damn, she's got
a spare bedroom. I could do my podcast in that back room.
Dude, I could write in there. Yeah, oh, it's a very God. Like, I know it's a,
there's good light here in the morning. Fuck, I really get used to this. This is great. Good
light. She could film sketches for me.
Yeah. And she's always going to laugh at your shit. Yeah. And she makes all the money. She's a good, easy laugh. You want an easy laugh. I never wanted to date my ex-girlfriend in Chicago. She was the hardest laugh. Everything I said was fucking stupid. And it makes you, it's like, I bombed enough this week. I don't want to come home and be like, what do you want for dinner? That's fucking hack. It's like, fucking, you're a cunt. Like, I don't want to deal with that shit. But dude, the idea of a woman owning property, kind of hot.
That's what we're looking for, dude. Because again, dude, it's something that we just don't like. It's obviously not a huge priority for us, you know, as like you're trying to do stand-up, you're trying to do comedy. But then when you are in someone, like, you go to someone's place where like this is like they like work to, you know, to live, you know, and that's when marriage pops into my head.
You want to have a woman who's understanding and can get you and can help you chase your dream while never judging you for fucking chasing your dream.
It's never gonna happen.
As long as you just don't have any kids, no one can really say anything to you. As long as you're not the guy who has like two kids and he's doing open mic still, like, that's the guy you look at and you go, "All right, dude, I know Kevin Hart did it, but you're never gonna be
Kevin." Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, I'm like, yeah, I'm trying to think. I think one girl, I do remember one girl recently, just being like, she did think it was cool, like. Coming to shows at first, but then it was just like, I think she was just like, well, like, is this really is what you want to do? And you're like, yeah, wow. You know, and they're like, that's not really,
You're doing 10 minutes at Blarney Stone. I think that I think I'm going to go to see my parents this weekend.
Yeah. So, but it is, yeah, I don't know, man. Have you found it easy or hard to be single in these quarantine times?
Dude, it's been fucking brutal. Like, I'm dying. I've been, so it was in LA and then quarantine hit and it was like strict lockdown, 2 months.
Yeah.
The apps are dead. Everyone's kind of freaked out. And then right around the third month, people are kind of like, all right, what's going on out there? What are we doing? What's happening?
Right.
And I went on a date with a girl where I went to her place. We sat in a hot tub, drank, made out, couldn't see her tits. So I left.
She has a hot tub?
Yeah, she's like a rich chick who had like lived in like Santa Monica and lived in this brand new apartment complex. So they have these huge apartments. Cool. And then they have all these, you know, these community areas with like fat hot tubs and like hangouts, but like they were all closed. But she knew the security guard. He's like, yeah, I don't care. Go in the hot tub. And so we were just
That's sick.
You know, but she was an absolute, you know, you ever like go on a date with a girl and she's so fucking boring that you weren't planning on drinking, but now you have to?
Yes.
So yeah, I brought 100%. Like 6 Modelos. I thought we were going to share a couple Modelos each. She's a tiny chick, probably going to have that much. Then she brought like a case of White Claws. Perfect. I drank all the Modelos and 3 of her White Claws. And then I just went home with my dick in my hand. Like, all right, well, this is what fucking dating is like, apparently, to someone who's... It's fucking, but yeah, it's been 6 months, dog. I haven't fucking anybody in 6 months. I'm losing I got cum coming out of my asshole, and not because I had just, you know what, just because it's there. I don't know how it got there.
I'm fucking, you're overflowing right now.
I would say I'm backed up, dude.
You're backed up.
I'm making poor decisions. Yeah.
Are you? So then, because, well, the good thing about LA is that you guys will always, have, you know, like patio situations, right? And stuff like that.
Oh, man. It's a long way off. Like, I'm moving. I'm leaving. I'm moving to Austin next month.
Austin?
Yeah, I'm going to go suck Joe Rogan's cock.
Did he move to Austin? I thought it was Houston. Am I wrong?
No, he moved to Austin, but Austin's open. So, I can't work. There's no more unemployment. I can't live. My lease is up in October. So I can just transfer my Orange Theory gig to Austin. Coach. Make money, live on my own. Like, fucking $900 in Austin gets me a 800 square foot one bedroom in like downtown. And it's, yeah.
It was the Orange Theory thing is kind of tight.
Dude, it's the best job I've ever had. Like, I won't ever bartend ever again.
Oh, really? That's amazing, dude.
Yeah. Hey, go.
Well, it just feels like now you have the ultimate flexibility and if you move to New York or something like that, which no one's moved to New York anytime soon, but it's like, you know, like that would also translate there. They would translate pretty much anywhere. Right.
Yeah, dude. It's kind of dope, man. Cause I mean, when I was full go coaching in LA, I was coaching like 16 classes a week. So I'm working less than 20 hours a week, making more money than I was working 6 nights as a bartender in Chicago.
Holy shit.
And so I was incredible. And then every night to do stand up, and it was fucking cool, man. In LA when it was going, because I would just work in the mornings, and then I would
and
then go.
You don't have to work out, right?
Yeah, and I just hop into class before I coach or right after I'm done coaching, so I get 5 of those in a week.
I mean, if you're coaching a class, you're working out essentially, right?
I mean, I demo shit, like I'll do like a movement for them on the floor so they can see it. But for the most part, but I'm on my feet, someone's running around, and you're kind of like it's like a coach. You're just bringing energy.
Isn't Orange Theory, isn't that also, like, this is why I'm so fucking stupid, but isn't it like a bike, isn't also biking? Like,
so
like,
it's bike, treadmills, rowers, and then there's like a weight room floor.
So are you the weight room guy?
So yes, I mean, I do all of it. So like you pretty much, what you do is you bring people in and then you have a stopwatch and you're queuing the treadmills to run certain distances at certain speeds. You cue the rowers certain distances, certain speeds, certain efforts, and then on the floor they have these different like rounds of blocks that they do like 3 different exercises. And right. So I would like say, all right, we're doing hammer curls, and then we're doing like this, and then we're gonna do upright down, doing like this. And
you're doing like a circuit workout for these
exactly
people. Damn, that's great.
Yeah, and you just fucking play music that you like and just yell at fucking all the Sharons that are out there, and you wear the fucking TED Talk mic, which is kind of dope. But
So you can, but it's also a gym, so you can theoretically after work or before work grab a workout and then get started with your day, right?
Yep. But I was coaching classes at 5 a.m., so I'm up at 4 for the 5:15 class.
Ooh, damn.
So, but then I'm done by 11 a.m. My day's over.
Okay, nice.
So then I would go, and it was sick, man. I would go and do, like, get it. There's all these, because L.A. was cool. Have you been out to L.A. and done in comedy there ever?
No, never been. I've been once, but that was in college.
Right, but like the way it's cool because they put every, like, Mike, bar, show, club, they're all very close. They're all within like a mile of each other. So you would go up there, and so I'd have days where I go up there and just get fucking do like three mics, eat ass, and then go to the Comedy Store and just walk in and sit in the back.
Okay.
Just like go and like hang out, and you're just like watching, you know, like I remember like Craig Robinson came in. I'm like, Craig Robinson acting, and he fucking ate a dick with a shitty fucking piano. I was like, this guy sucks.
Oh, shit. He's dude, it's a very, yeah, I've heard, I was just talking to somebody about this, that like people hang out at the store like it's a job in a way. Like some guys are like.
Some guys treat it as like they're like, I'm going to be here for the next 5 hours and I don't have a spot.
Whoa.
Yeah, because the improv is kind of cool because you can. There's like a legit, but it's kind of like Second City a little bit where there's that speakeasy and then you would go right into the club right next to it if you were doing comedy. But like you can't really hang that much at the improv. Whereas at the store, there's fucking patios, there's fucking back parking lots, there's back fucking hallways. Everyone's just hanging. Like I remember the first day I went there, I was walking through like the back hallway and you just like, you pass like, Jeselnik and like Elijah Schlesinger, and they're just like hanging out, like waiting to go up.
Right.
It's just like, and you see guys like that, and then you see, oh yeah, everyone's doing the same thing. But then you have the guys who, like me, who have not doing a spot, and I'm like, I'm not gonna sit here for 6 hours. Guys stay there till close. They get there at fucking 8 o'clock and they stay until 2.
And they just wait until hopefully.
They just hang out, talk to the door guys. Everyone, like the door guys are like celebrities. So everyone wants to be boys with the door guys because that's the thing that everyone's always said. You gotta be a door guy and then you can be like fucking have $80 million in the bank.
So if you are a door guy at the store, that's how you become a good comedian? Is that the, I don't know.
That's what people, I mean, like, is, you know, all the Ari Shaffir, Hinchcliffe, Bobby Lee, Ren Azizi, all those guys are all door guys. So that's kind of the, so what they make you do is, like, if you want to be a door guy, you have to be an intern and work for free for, like, a year or two or three and really? Just do free labor. And then if they – and you're a comic, and then if they like you, they can make you a door guy, and you can make $5 an hour to have the worst job of all time. But then you get spots. So you get, like, late-night spots. You're doing spots at the mic. You're doing spots at Potluck. You're doing –
oh, and then, so if you start killing, that's when they start, then they'll have eyes on you. Consistently can get in front of the booker then, right?
Yeah. And the improv was cool. The improv was great because like, so they have two mics a week that are like pulling names, and the booker comes to both of those. She sits in the back and watches for 5 hours. Wow. So she watches every single comic go up. She's the fucking, I forget what her name is, but she was the best. Like you would sit there, and it would suck though, because the one on Sunday night wouldn't start until 11 and it goes till 2, and it's in like this it's called the lab. It's this tiny ass, it's like the size of this fucking living room I'm in. And then it's like 200 people, it's like 200 comics all trying to get up, and there's drawn, and you do 2 minutes. Like it's fucking, it's kind of brutal.
Wow.
And then but the booker's there and they're just like just checking you out. But yeah, I mean, LA's, that's not gonna be it can't do comedy, dude. You guys are doing comedy in Chicago. I see you're doing spots. You got fucking Laugh Factory's open again. How's it feeling being like back and somewhat rolling?
It's just, it's fun now, you know, it's fun. It wasn't, you know, if you think of it in a sense of like, how am I going to get better? Then that's not the, I don't think that's the right attitude right now. I think right now it's just to really do what you're kind of like in terms of the material, like what you're passionate about, what you really maybe were like afraid to do before. Cause right now it's just like, there's not a ton of stakes. I don't think anyone's getting late night from and doing any spots right now. So it's just like very, You're just you're doing it as it's whatever. It's become like the fun hobby that I think that it is for some people. Right. You know, where it's like you're
for
not,
everybody.
Yeah, and like and obviously you take it, you still take it seriously, but it's it's hard to be as like engaged, I think, sometimes, because you know I'm going up like 2 or 3 times a week now. You know, and it's like
I would kill for 2 fucking spots a week and do it in a fucking at Blarney. I don't care where it is, dude. It's fucking. I haven't been up in 6 months.
Yeah, like I'm doing a park show today. Then I'm doing the Laugh Factory this weekend. So it's like
where the car goes, man.
I gotta get back. Gotta get my cargos back. But yeah, it's been. It's honestly, dude. It is. It's nice. But it's like you're not like. But you know in the back of your mind that it's like it's hard to build time. It's mostly, do you know Vic Pandia told me, like he's like, it's about like maintaining right now. I think maintaining is the best. I was like, I think that's a really good way of going about it.
It's any way to like feel something like creative, right? So I saw, and by the way, the sketches you guys have been putting out, dude, I fucking love those. I think those are awesome.
So oh, that's fucking
dope. The other, and I'll throw those on here for. I'll plug these on here because a couple of those links. Just send me those links and I'll put them on the channel.
Yeah, of course.
Because that shit was great. Because you guys had the one where you had the HR one was fucking hilarious, and then you had the one you just put out with
Schneeman
with Tommy that was fucking awesome.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, I think that's also the thing too, is to just work on to work the stuff to take seriously right now. The work is to be. Is the stuff outside of stand-up, and then the stand-up is the fun thing.
Right. Well, it's all creating, like dude.
Creative. Yeah.
So. I was telling Tucker this. I was like, dude, because he's like, I'm not doing anything. I'm like, me, I just make shit. It doesn't like no one doesn't matter. No one's watching anything anyway. The idea of like something being awesome because it got 100,000 views, does that mean that it was like more fun when you made it 2 months ago?
Right.
It's like it's like you gotta just make stuff. Like with like me and this podcast, like just putting it out twice a week, it's grown like exponentially.
Yeah.
And then it's also and I do mine alone. It's usually just me by myself, just fucking being an idiot. And that's at least it's like, you know, like maybe 7% of what the muscle of doing stand-up is, but at least I'm speaking and editing and hearing myself and working through, you know, riffing and trying to find a bit and nothing, but it all matters. It's better than doing nothing.
To me, it's just like I've been putting out something, some type of sketch most weeks since COVID, and it's just because, or I'll put up like a stand-up clip or whatever. And it's I still, you know, I just still like want to get laughs somehow, and like that's it's disgusting, but that's kind of the core of it. It's like you do stand-up because you want people to think you're funny, or do you want people to laugh at what you have to say, and
you want people to see it. Yeah. But it's
right. So it's like, yes, I mean, at the core of it, you know, when you're making sketches and the people that are not making stuff right now are kind of the people that if they don't need to get a laugh, then that's kind of great. That's kind of a great way to live. I need it, you know, like I absolutely need it. And that's something that like you have to kind of either admit to yourself or you're not. If you feel like you don't need fucking people to like you like that on a weekly, but then fucking, I think that's great.
Oh,
like, I need it, dude. Like
I've been really, sitting here for fucking my whole life saying, I post shit and I don't, if it gets fucking one view or 500, I don't fucking give a shit. None of it means anything. And then I had that bald bit that I posted posted it a year ago on YouTube and it had like, I don't know, fucking a couple hundred views, nothing.
Yeah.
And then in the last 2 weeks it like blew up and got like 150,000 or something like that.
Oh damn.
And amazing. And it's just like, but just for no reason. I don't know why. I didn't know what it did it for, but I was like, oh, that feels pretty fucking, that feels good. Even though I've been saying it wouldn't matter. It fucking matters, dude. You want people to see the shit you're making.
Yeah. I mean, again, like for me, that's something I just feel like I have to do. Maybe I'll grow out of it one day, but like if you know, I got like Tucker saying that he's not doing as much. Like, that's fine too. I think it's fine if you don't want to, because that's probably, honestly, mentally, it's probably a good place. It's probably a healthy place to be in, to not feel like you have to be validated.
Were you like real irritable early on, or did you kind of settle into doing nothing for those first 3 months of quarantine? Of doing, you can't do comedy, no one, you're not getting up, you're not doing a podcast, you're not really making anything. Were you just like, did you settle into it okay, or were you fucking going down like, this sucks?
I settled into it okay, actually, because, well, at first it was such a health, especially when you're in a big city, like it was such a health concern that we were like, damn, like this could really, we really gotta like quarantine. We were like, we legally have to just be still, you know? And then I kind of went right back into, like, I wrote a pilot that sucks. And then I went back into writing stuff. And it was, I think the hardest part of it was dealing with like being, especially doing stand-up. When you're doing stand-up the last 5 years and that's been your nights, you know, that's the hardest part of it. I think of being, just being like, damn, like this is, people like, like there's only a few groups of people that really got their pet, their lives, like kind of shaken up from this.
Yeah, man. If you were a fucking server, if you were a performer, I mean, you're just,
yeah, dude. If you were performing, yeah, if you were in service, it's like, there's people who like, you know, do like consulting work. There's people who like with their desk jobs. The only thing that's different is that they go to more patios or whatever. You know, yeah. people are making more. The people with these like, with cushy 9-to-5s, they're making more, they're saving more, and they're having the same experiences that they used to. But they're just, you know, they just have to be a little more socially distant. We are like, you know, we are completely like deprived of our passion. You know,
yeah, it'll be back though. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, it won't be back in LA for a long time.
Yeah. Is that why people saying that like some of the bigger comics are moving out of LA?
Yeah. You can't get up. I mean, there's no point in paying the LA tax. Everything's more expensive, traffic, people suck. There's no point in paying all that if you can't do the thing that you want to do. Right. So if you're a guy who's like a 1% comic who goes to the store, improv, Laugh Factory, that's him walking out in town. Then he goes on the road. He's like, I'm not going to stay here and keep paying that. So but yeah, like I'm going to go to Austin and like they have mics right now, dude. Like they got everything. Like I can get up.
They have indoor mics.
They have indoor mics right now in Austin. They don't, people don't give a shit. It's Texas. Fucking hook 'em horns. They fucking do not care. They got Matthew McConaughey fucking laughing into his Instagram and fucking people just not wearing masks. They don't give a fuck, man. So, I mean, I'm sure and Austin's pretty liberal. So there'll be more of that. But I was talking to some guys out there and it's like, yeah, dude, like you can get up and do the thing and work. And it's like LA's and they're like, hey, don't work. And also no more money for you either. So wow, like, dude, it sucked my dick, but like, it's also like, who knows where I'll be in 3 years.
Yeah. I think that's,
you think you're going to stay in Chicago?
I'm not sure right now, you know, we'll see. I mean, I had planned on moving to New York, but now it's, that's very, something that I just gotta like kind of wait and see on.
I'm just gonna be
monitoring it. I like Chicago right now. I actually love Chicago a lot.
I miss Chicago, dude. I miss it so much.
Yeah, it's kind of a perfect, I think it's the perfect place. But I'm also from here. I'm kind of biased. So
yeah, you're a real cunt, Alex.
I know.
Dude, you got to go to work? How much longer can I keep you? You got to roll?
I actually got to go to my sister's in a few minutes. I'm picking up. I like left I left my jacket at her place. So I got to go pick that up.
That's what a horrible excuse to get off. Yeah, I go pick up my jacket from a girl. No, my sister's just got his jacket. It's really important to me. Like yeah, I was,
she had a birthday party and then I left my jacket there and that's my day. And then I'm doing this park show in a little bit. So
yeah, you'll be good. All right, man. We'll fucking wrap it up. Thanks for coming on, brother.
Dude, no problem, man. Thanks for having me. I'm I'm glad you're glad to see like you found your groove with this thing. This thing's going well, man.
Yeah, it's got almost 17 followers, 17 listeners, and t-shirts are fucking, yeah. I sell t-shirts now. That's what I do.
Just like any other road comic, man.
I'm just a road. Hey, you guys want merch? You guys want merch? And then people are like, I guess we went to middle school together. I'll buy a t-shirt. That's All right, dog. I'll talk to you soon, okay?
Dude, thanks for having me, man. I'll talk to you later, all right?
All right, man. Take it easy.